Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To our adamant readers out there, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've tuned into IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. Their show is Bookshelf, and I'm Hussein. I'm here if you're looking for a good book to read this week. So the Quran is the most important text in Islam, and it's pivotal to Islamic ideology. To Muslims, the Quran is God's words as revealed to Muhammad and delivered faultlessly to us. The Quran is commonly considered among Muslims as Muhammad's miracle, revealed at a time when eloquence was the main concern of the community. It challenges disbelievers to produce a book like itself if they claim the book is not divine. So one element that makes the Quran very special is that each verse can have layers of meaning, and you can only go so deep as your knowledge. When studying the Quran, every word matters. The organization of the words, the vocabulary that is chosen, the structure that is used, the verses that precede or follow it, the context and history of the verse all matter. It's interpretation that gives life to the verses. And through interpretation, we can reach some level of the deepness of a verse. In Islamic literature, interpretation is called tafsir. And like I said, according to Wikishia, tafsir is a discipline concerned with explaining and interpreting the Quran. Interpretation started at the time of the Prophet and by himself, and then Imam Ali ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and Ubay ibn Ka'b were among the first interpreters and commentators of the Quran after the Prophet. The Quran has been interpreted with different approaches and methodologies like thematic, sequential, the Quran-based, hadith-based, scientific, jurisprudential, philosophical, and mystical. And today, we want to introduce a new interpretation of the Quran. So don't go away.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين إن سألتم عن كتابي فهو قرآن كريم ضم دستور الحياة وحوى نور المبين وحوى نور المبين If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf, and we were talking about a new interpretation of the Quran just before the break. The book we want to introduce today is called The Study Quran by Sayyid Hossein Nasr and Joseph Lambard, Kainer Dagli, Maria Masih Dakaki, Muhammad Rostam, and it has been published by Harper One. Hossein Nasr is an Iranian professor emeritus of Islamic studies at George Washington University and an Islamic philosopher. He's the author of several scholarly books and articles, and in fact, he's a prolific writer. In the year 2000, Mr. Nasr received a volume devoted to himself in the Library of Living Philosopher, and he has been the recipient of different awards for his writing. So I have the book in front of me right now. It's called The Study Quran, A New Translation and Commentary. Editor-in-chief is Mr. Sayyid Hossein Nasr. So basically, it goes through the chapters of the Quran one by one, giving you a new translation and also an explanation of the chapter. MissNess also has many lectures that you can watch online if you're interested, but we have one section of one of his lectures prepared. Let's listen to that, then we'll take a break, and after the break, we'll be back to read an excerpt of this book. Stay tuned.
Those of you who are here are scholars of religion or interested in religion, probably know about the study Bible and the study Torah, both of which were published by Harper. And they have become standard works, really, very good works, especially in universities where these texts are being taught to students, and they're called study, Bible study of Torah for that very reason. It was almost 11 years ago now when Harper, which is my main publisher, approached me and said, we want now to do a study of Quran, and we want you to be the editor-in-chief. And I've said this elsewhere, but I have to repeat it. I first turned it down. I said, this is not my field. I'm not competent. I'm a student of Islamic philosophy and science and mysticism, but none of the Quran. I just read the Quran like the Muslim. They said, if you don't do it, we're not going to do it. I decided to start seriously on this project. I chose three editors, all of whom are very close to me, my students in one way or another, and we have a single voice. If there's one thing that I've been able to achieve in this text, along with them, of course, all of us together, is that the only book you can compare to it in the English language is the King James Version of the Bible, which is a translation by a collection of people. I was hoping to achieve that unity, and I'm very glad to say that we succeeded in doing that. And they would be consulting with each other over the translation of various words and texts and so forth and phrases, and you cannot, or you perhaps can imagine, how difficult it is to choose a single English word from a language which has a vertical and hierarchical levels of meaning of almost every word, like an iceberg, the top of which you see, the rest of which is under the water. And how do you get a word which conveys to some extent at least this multiplicity of levels of meaning, which is any sacred language, especially the language of the Quran, possesses. But thank God things went along well until they couldn't agree on something. And after 10 years, the Quran was translated.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf. We were talking about how there are various translations and interpretations of the Quran, each with a different approach. So each one of them gives us different access to the deepness of the verses of the Quran. Today we're going to go through the book, The Study of Quran by Hossein Nasr and his colleagues, published by Harper One. I'm going to read the very beginning because I really enjoyed it, which is an explanation on the first chapter of the Quran, Al-Fatiha, the opening. Al-Fatiha is considered by the vast majority of scholars to be among the first surahs to have been revealed in Mecca. According to Mujahid, one of the leading scholars among the second generation of Muslims, this surah was revealed in Medina. Most scholars claim that this is impossible, however, as the Muslims would not have been able to perform their required prayers without it. The primary meaning of Al-Fatiha is the opening, which indicates the surah's function as the opening of the book, Fatihat al-Kitab, and as the first surah to be recited in each cycle or rak'ah of the canonical prayers, as well as the manner in which it serves as an opening for many functions in everyday Islamic life. It can also be taken as a reference to the surah's ability to open one's breast to faith in God. The Fatiha is often believed to be a synthesis of the Quran's message and to be its most important surah. Hence, it has been given the title of Ummul Kitab, Mother of the Book, a term also applied to other aspects of the Quran and to the celestial archetype of the Quran and, in fact, all sacred scripture. It's also known as the Mother of the Quran, a reference to its containing the meaning of the entire Quran. Other titles are the seven oft-repeated, As-Sab al-Mathani, the cure, because it is said to have healing powers for both body and soul, and the foundation, because it serves as a foundation for the whole of the Quran. Also known as Surat al-Hamd, the chapter of praise, and Surat al-Salah, the chapter of the prayer, the Fatiha is recited at the beginning of each cycle of prayer by all Sunnis and many Shiites. In Shiite law, one is allowed to recite the Fatiha in the third and fourth cycles, or to recite Glory be to God and Praise be to God. There is no God but God, and God is great. It is also recited by Muslims on occasions as diverse as a funeral, a wedding, the birth of a child, and the inauguration of an official event. So this is a very interesting book. I hope you get an idea. It gives you a lot of interesting facts about, first, the chapter itself, and secondly, how it is used and practiced in the Islamic community. If you missed our program, no worries. We were going through the book, The Study Quran, by Sayyid Hossein Nasr, published by Harper One. You can download this program and our other shows from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Bookshelf. Till next week, and a lot of reading. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.